the news in numbers with Tanya Curry, exclusively on Chai FM.
Tanya Curry, officially good morning to you.
A very good morning to you again.
Exactly.
Again.
Well, this is the official good morning. So what were the big stories this week?
Well, like we said, State Capture Inquiry certainly kept us glued to our screens yet again for another week. Mm-hmm. I've heard something that this is going to continue for about 2 years. Is that right?
I don't know. Well, there's been a lot of corruption. You know, we do need the time. You know, I know that they're trying to do it simultaneously in all the different areas, but yes, there's a lot to cover.
Well, if Agretti was on the stand for 9 days, yesterday, my heart dropped when Becky clearly was mentioned in the State Capture Inquiry, and I was just like, oh man, I love your hat. I really love your hat.
Yeah.
And I know when you walk in, things get done. So I was devastated to hear that. But yesterday we heard how there was a person employed simply to remove video footage of what they called VIPs and VVIPs that attended the Basasa offices. Mm-hmm. And that includes none other than Jacob Zuma. But it also did include Becky Cola, which made me a little bit upset. But at the moment, it doesn't matter if you're a liquor store or a travel company or what you are. You seem to be involved in this state capture inquiry.
Well, I just wonder at the end of it, if we're going to be able to say, okay, hold on. Everybody was involved. Everybody got something for nothing. So now, actually they didn't get it for nothing, they got it for something, but that's a whole different story. Is there a line to be drawn? You know, maybe, okay, if you didn't, you know, they helped you with your security at your house, maybe that, you know, I don't know. The problem is, I think we're going to land up with no government at this rate.
Well, I think we're going to land up with nobody. I mean, we talk about government, but corporate South Africa is just as involved.
Oh, absolutely.
What is this, the liquor store and the travel company and all these people that are involved? What's going to happen to us? I mean, are we going to lock all these people up? Will there be anybody left to do business?
Well, the good thing is that Basasa have the security contracts for the jail, so I think that's pretty okay as well. They can just look after everybody. It's just absurd. The level of it is just completely ridiculous.
Well, you know, in my dealings with corporate South Africa, there are a lot of shady people out there, and I think most of the corporate world runs on shadiness in some way, shape, or form. And I'm scared that this is the unbundling of the entirety of South Africa, because once you start digging into corporate South Africa, my goodness, you're going to unearth some serious stuff.
It's actually interesting you say that. I don't find that. I find the corporates that I've been working with, you know, in the consulting side, on the consulting side, you know, in terms of doing corporate training, I find them incredibly, incredibly, in fact, sometimes too much so that they almost err on the side of making sure that governance is followed down to a meticulous level, which of course is important. So it's interesting. Maybe it just depends in which part of the industry.
Well, I think if we're talking about the big corporates here, I mean, you just have to look at KPMG and McKinsey and people like that. And Steinhoff, and you start seeing that this is not a government problem. This is a business problem as well, you know. And I just worry that we're going to end up chucking everyone in jail. And all the good guys, the five of us left, are going to have to run the country.
Yeah, look, and we're busy, Tanya. We are busy. We don't have time.
Yeah, we're trying very hard.
And then, of course, Vodacom was the other big story.
Well, Vodacom certainly played for top spot this week, but they didn't quite make it. They're coming in with about 30% of the coverage over the past 7 days. And let's be fair. I mean, the big story happened yesterday, so they haven't had a lot of time on the charts. I think it's so big because of Panyaza Lesufi's endorsement.
Which I find odd. I must say, I've been thinking quite a lot about it, because here there's clearly a dispute. The guy that invented or claims to have invented the police court me is definitely, there's no question that he's entitled to something. We don't know what Vodacom have made him an offer. We don't really know what it is. It's rumored to be around about 49 million rand. Other people say 10 million rand, but it's somewhere between 10 and...
I've heard 2 million.
Okay, so I hadn't heard lower than 10, but we actually don't know what that figure is. He's claiming 50, I think something about, you know, like some insane number. 70 billion is what he's paying. But Vodacom records actually show that they only generated 86 billion rand only from this, and their net profit in this area was 15.6 billion. So there's something odd going on with this whole story, which is, I get, and I understand the frustration, and I understand that social media is important to sometimes push something along, especially the big companies against the little guy, and I get all of that, but why would government get involved? Why would he put himself out there with us? It creates a complete mess.
I think it might be a bit of electioneering. Mm. It could be because power to the people and all that. Mm. It could be the Panyaza Lesufi is probably the loss of the honest politicians. Maybe.
Yes.
I don't know. But certainly Makate has made a very big impact this week. I'm in two minds about this story. Look, the man definitely deserves to be
paid. There's no question. Yeah.
I want to know why it's taken so long. And I think that's Vodacom's biggest problem here is, why don't you just pay the guy and get done?
So I think what happened here,
why did you drag it out so long?
So I think what happened here is that the agreement was a pretty loose and weak one to start, and then they probably thought, you know what, we can get away with it. We don't really need to. And then as it just started mounting and building, they realized, well, okay, we're going to have to do something. But it developed a life of its own. You know, this figure that they've offered, it's actually a real pity that we don't know what it is, because it might change the mind of the public. If Vodacom had to come out and say, listen, we made 15 billion rand worth of net profit over this, how can he be demanding 70 billion rand? Yes. That makes no sense. We've offered him 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 million rand. That is X percentage of it. You know, it's a very different discussion. And I don't think that they would have the negativity in the press that they, and on social media that they are having currently.
Well, I heard an angle yesterday on the news, and it hasn't been carried very widely, and I think this might be why this is coming out. Apparently, the last judgment said that it was at the chairman of Vodacom's discretion as to how much they would pay. And I think that's what's causing the ruckus, because the chairman can say, okay, 5 cents and I'm done.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's what's causing the big fight. Certainly is a big story. People calling to boycott Vodacom and switch off their phones. I can't. I'm a business owner. You know, this is the power the networks have over us. It's very hard to boycott.
And everyone's saying, no, it's so easy just to change, but it's not. It's nonsense. It's not easy to change.
It really isn't. It really, really isn't. So that story, I think, will probably continue through the weekend as the weekend papers pick up and do exposés on that. So we can watch that story grow. But here, my favorite, Zilla. My favorite. Helen Zilla called for a tax revolt.
Now, this is also interesting, because I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and I said, why, somebody who's quite involved with government, and I said, why? We're not used to it. People have been boycotting toll roads, which is effectively tax, for years. So it's not an unheard of concept, but for somebody like Helen Zille to stand up and to say that, I was flabbergasted. And the answer that this person gave me is, what is the biggest conversation we're having this week in terms of politics?
Electioneering, yes.
Is DA Helen Zille. It brings the DA. Why did Donald Trump, one of the reasons that they say that Donald Trump won, not because he was, everybody absolutely loved his policies, is because when he opened his mouth, he made news headlines. The news coverage that he got for free from all of the networks, including CNN, who hated him, and continues to hate him, it was all marketing. They gave him that. And maybe a little bit of a skeptic said, perhaps that's the reason. Maybe they wanted to bring the DA back into the conversation.
Haven't they got enough?
Well, they've got all the wrong things, in my view. But,
You just look at state capture. There's more than enough for them to keep bleating about. And can we stop bleating and talk about what you're going to do, DA?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? So you're telling us not to pay our taxes. So what is the implication of that? If we did stand by you and we said, okay, well, nobody's paying taxes, what would happen?
All right.
To be fair,
she didn't say that we must stop. She said we've got to give it a reasonable amount of time. But, I mean, no one knows what that means. Just even the conversation. is dangerous, because anybody looking not to pay their taxes can say, you know what, even Helen Sillis says I shouldn't, so I'm not going to. It was really, really irresponsible behavior in my view.
Last time I checked, it's illegal.
And pretty much illegal, yeah. So that's Helen Ziller. So that was another big story, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bigger story than elections 2019. I don't know about you, but I am sick of my timeline between the DA, the EFF, and the ANC just pumping that publicity over and over again and telling us what good guys they are. Has made me quite nauseous.
I think it's worse to some extent, because I think they're telling us what bad guys the others are. So we've almost got this really negative feeling, because all everybody's doing is pointing out the faults of the others. And as you rightfully said a few minutes ago, tell us what you are going to do. Tell us how you're going to solve some of the issues that we are currently facing.
Well, I mean, firstly, we've got people saying about the ANC, well, I'm not voting ANC because the state capture commission. Then people coming back and going, well, can't vote EFF because of the VBS story. And then they're coming back to say you can't vote DA because of the GLAD Africa story. So everybody's got their big scandal. And who are we left with? We're left with the little minority parties. And is that worth a vote? I am certainly like questioning what to do at the polls, and I'm sure I'm not alone.
You're definitely not alone. I asked our listeners that a few days ago, and because I'm absolutely convinced that that many of us are just thoroughly confused as to which direction to vote in. I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. Taking a look at some of your SMSs, talking about that song, Good Vibes, Howard. I wondered the same as Jason Mraz is your Wednesday song, Can Shweki Be Fridays? Israel Chai seems perfect for a Shabbos edition. What do you think? Karen says, I really love that song. Great show. So informative. Thanks, Karen. Ansan says, nearly as good as yesterday's song. Does that mean they hated it?
Mm-hmm.
Tanya, they hated yesterday's song. They shot me down in flames. If I was sensitive,
how
I tell you.
You should be used to it.
I know, but I was so excited about this. I nearly didn't sleep the whole night before. I couldn't wait. I was talking about the song for an hour. I played it, and you've never seen an SMS line filled with such horror. It was really, really, really upsetting.
Sorry,
exactly. I'm not gonna look for a 7 o'clock song until Sunday afternoon. That's what I'm gonna do. Neil says, morning, Howard. The saintly South Africans must be careful of not falling into the same trap, of lowering our credibility. Everybody has a price. Alright, I guess. So that's from Neil. Neil saying, effectively, I think what Neil's saying is that there are only a couple of people left of let's hope they don't go the same route. 7:21, and I'm chatting to Tanya Khoury, and we're talking about the week in numbers. What are the other big stories?
Oh, the SABC. My goodness. I mean, firstly, they didn't pay salaries, or they were late with salaries.
No, but I thought there was just a technical problem. That was Crowdy said.
I say nothing. Yeah. It was very soon after the late salary payments that they came up with a retrenchment plan, and that has since been called off. So you've got to wonder what's going on at the state broadcast.
Sadly, I don't think we are wondering. I think we have a pretty clear idea.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Howard. It's scary. Because I must say that the quality of news reporting on SABC's news channel is just exceptional. It's really good coverage, you know? So it's sad that the journalists are suffering the way they are, but, the state institution certainly hasn't, been on a good foot for a while now. And then, AfriForum, just when you thought it couldn't get worse.
I didn't see them at all this week, did you? Where have
they
we been?
They are paying for the Caligny.
No, who's advising them? Who's advising AfriForum?
You know, like, I just look at AfriForum and I think you are killing us, guys. You're killing us.
Well, they're first of all killing themselves, which is quite bizarre.
Well, I mean, AfriForum is automatically associated with white people. That's what they've built. You know, and every time you mention AfriForum, everybody, including me, thinks white people, you know?
Yeah, well, they've done very little to
No, but I always specifically think racist white people. That's literally...
Racist white people, is that what you think?
Yes. Oh, thank God.
I honestly don't... I don't think, yeah.
But they've had so many opportunities to disprove that, and they don't take them, and they continue to reaffirm that notion.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And they didn't have to be this.
This is our marketing plan and we're sticking to it.
Yeah, they didn't have to be this.
We just said, why people who are racist? That's what we do.
Yeah, oh, what a stupid thing. I didn't even see that in social media, which I'm actually quite happy about.
Me too.
But the tragedy for me is Carrie Nell, and I think the tragedy will always be Carrie Nell.
Yes, even with me.
You know, I had so much admiration for that man, and he's come up now in the Mahura inquiry about the vendetta Jiba had against him because he caught her husband defrauding some or other thing, and she took out a vendetta against him, and that is probably why Harry now left the NPA. Mm. So very, very interesting convergence of stories there, but AfriForum, please, be quiet. Just be quiet.
Yeah, just don't do anything for a while.
Sure. Mm. And then the two smaller stories on the charts, and sadly, Howard, look, World Economic Forum is dissipating, so I expected that to be small, but Zimbabwe is the smallest story on our charts.
Yeah, I've tried to write articles, I've tried to talk about it. No, but, you know, there are things, Tanya, we don't talk about. In fact, I think it was over December that you and I had a bit of a discussion. There's certain things around the world we don't talk about. So we don't talk about things in China because we don't get that information. So when China is locking up and creating camps, intern camps for Muslims in order to re-educate them or whatever they're doing there, you'll see a blip in the news and it's gone. Why? Because there's no information. Zimbabwe is on our doorstep and we don't get information about it. It is so frustrating.
Howard, do you know if social media is up in Zimbabwe?
I don't know. I haven't seen much.
This is the other thing. We don't know, you know. And I'm wondering about the people who are here in South Africa that are Zimbabweans or have friends in Zimbabwe. Don't they know what's going on? I mean, I've seen a couple of reports about horrendous things happening in Zimbabwe. But there have only been like two or three articles that I've been able to read. And that's a tragedy. I mean, what happens in Zimbabwe directly impacts on South Africa. And that's a fact, you know. Now, the next thing you know, we're going to have an influx of people that are starving, and something we need to know more about. So the tragedy is the lack of information coming out. It just shows you what the state can do when it starts controlling the media voice, and that's certainly what's happening in Zimbabwe.
All right, Tanya Khoury, we've got only a few minutes left. Tell us about anything else in the local charts and anything significant on the international charts.
Well, we're done really with the local charts. There were a couple of stories. I mean, the Afrikaans story at the university should have made an impact, but it didn't really. No one really cared. No. But internationally, leaving Neverland.
What?
Oh, dear. We're going to have to boycott.
So we had R. Kelly's...
I have not followed the story.
And yesterday or day before yesterday, and it came out at one of these film things like Cannes, I don't follow them too closely, but it was actually screened for the first time at one of these festivals. They had psychologists on hand to deal with the trauma, and turns out what we all suspected is true about Michael Jackson.
So wait, why don't I know about this week? Where have I been? Just tell me the story.
The movie's called Leaving Neverland.
Ah, it's a movie. Okay.
And it is where various victims have come forward and spoken about the abuse they have faced. There's no monetary gain for them or any gain for them whatsoever. So I think it's safe to say that they're telling the truth. There's no other reason to do it. Mm. But the trauma of the movie, I mean, a whole bunch of people came up and tried to shut it down, but it was out there. They were very clever. They screened for the first time at the actual event. Apparently absolutely horrific. It comes out later this year. People say mute Michael Jackson. I don't think that's possible to mute Michael Jackson, do you?
No.
A lot of people are even finding it difficult for R. Kelly.
Zanachi, don't get me started on R. Kelly. Because I promise. Like any radio station that plays any of that music, like there should be an absolute punishment for them. The man, if you watch that Surviving R. Kelly, the man manipulated the entire world with his music to cover up what he's doing.
Oh yeah.
And that is the truth. I mean, when he released I Believe I Can Fly, that was to cover up what he'd done to the 14-year-old. Mm. you know, and then people played it in churches and at weddings and at funerals, and how can possibly that person who generated that song do that to little girls? Mm-hmm. But he has done it, and he's still out there. I mean, why is he still out there? That's what I don't
know. So such an interesting question that you raise is how important is the morality of somebody who writes a song, of a composer? If we know these things about them, do we need to distance ourselves from it, or do we say, you know, deeply flawed, terrible, but, you know, we've had this conversation, Tanya, here, and on, in fact, as recently as this week, with regard to A.A. Milne. I'm a massive fan of his writing. I'm a massive fan of Winnie the Pooh, but he is a documented bigot, racist, anti-Semite in the most horrible way. And the question is, what do we do with that? Do we say, you know, the fact that he gifted the world with Winnie the Pooh, we don't read that anymore? Or do we say, you know what, we understand who he was and we understand what he is, but what we have today is still something beautiful.
I think there's a big difference between whether the person who is writing the music or writing the books is alive or dead.
Yes, and I think you're right. I do think you're alive.
So every time you play a track of his, he gets money for it.
I think that's a
and
very good point.
And I think that's what we're trying to stop.
Right.
With Michael Jackson, it's too late. With A.A. Milne, it's too late.
Right.
But with R. Kelly, we certainly have a chance to bankrupt the man.
Because the more money he has...
And by bankrupting him, we'll shut him up.
Yeah, the more money he has, the more power he has to continue manipulating these girls.
34519 or 0618951019. I'd love your thoughts on it. It is a very complex conversation. It is something that is very, very difficult to get our heads around. And, I have to say that I'm conflicted because, you know, to remove some of the beautiful stuff because of his behavior, well, I hear it, but at the same, you know, it's a very, very difficult, concept, and I'd love your thoughts on that. Tanya Khoury, this is unfortunately where we love and leave you. We'll catch you next week, same time, same place. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And
thank you, you too, guys. You deserve it. Take a load off this weekend and turn off the news for a change.
Absolutely right. Couldn't have said it better myself.